Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. Happy Labor Day, everyone. I'm glad you're here. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and it's another great Labor Day, live Labor Day show. And we'll start kicking it off with our friend Douglas McCormick. Doug is managing partner at HCI Equity Partners, author of the book Family Inc., Using Business Principles to Maximize Your Family's Wealth. He's talked to us about that before, and he's here to talk to us about how we should think about Labor Day and entrepreneurship at the same time. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks to be glad to be here, Jim. Thank you.
It's good to have you. Good to have you here. So Labor Day, as you know, as most people know, Labor Day was founded in the 19th century, in the 1880s and 90s. Took some time to get it done, and finally became a national holiday later in the 20th century. But it was founded by labor unions, wasn't it, Doug?
Yes, it was. Yep.
At a time when, and that was a time when labor unions were probably needed, because you had a lot of folks who didn't know how to treat their people, and for a whole lot of the 20th century, the labor union movement was pretty strong and was an important part of America, wasn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you look over the history of the labor movement, the movement has had tremendous accomplishments, whether it be the elimination of child labor or safe working conditions or establishing the 8-hour workday. So clearly a long history of success on behalf of the labor.
Well, yeah, and in fact, you're talking to a product of a family. I mean, a labor union family. My father was union. My mother was union. They believed in it, but of course they were part of the union membership back when there was a reason for it, and it seemed that labor and management worked together back in those days. I'm not so sure that's the way it is today. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I think it certainly can get contentious. And I'm not surprised to hear that you have a background with your family being involved in the union. You know, back in the 40s, union membership in the private sector was just slightly less than 50%, about 45%.
Yeah.
And today it's less than 10% in the private sector. So there's certainly been a
probably closer to 6%.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's not very good. But what do you think that is?
Well, I think it's a product of a couple things. I think, first of all, if you think about where unions have been concentrated over the last several years, they're relatively mature industries that have not grown a lot. Mm-hmm. And so as the United States economy has evolved and changed in ways to be competitive, the unions in many cases are not participating in that growth industry.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the value proposition to young people is not what it used to be. And so if you look at the union demographics today, it's generally skewed toward older people, and I think the benefits are often skewed toward older people too, so it's difficult mm-hmm. to attract new talent into the union, I think. Certainly, the right-to-work movement among states creates a more complicated financial...
Something like 26 states are right-to-work now.
Yeah. And I think, you know, people to a certain extent are voting with their wallet a little bit. You know, union participation is not free. It averages 2-4% of your pay, and I think in this labor environment that we've seen for the last several years, no one's increasing, you know, kind of pay at that rate.
Right.
When I say no one, I mean large groups of people, and so I think to a certain extent, people could rightfully conclude that it's not a good investment.
Well, there are two other factors that I think have come into play in the last 30 years, as I've observed, Doug, and that is, one is, let's give props to the employers out there who partially partially because of regulations. We also have to kind of kick in some props there for some regulations that made working conditions, improve working conditions. That'll be the last time you'll ever hear me praise regulations, by the way, Doug. And the second one is employers have realized, are realizing more and more that you know, it's, you get more out of your folks these days by treating them right than by not treating them right, which is what unions were founded for. And the third thing is, I believe this is one of the main ones, unions, the union leadership have lost track of who they serve.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've become political action groups to serve themselves and not the people on the line. What do you think?
Well, Jim, you and I tend to agree on this issue quite a bit. But I think there's some other really interesting trends as well that I'm seeing. One is the labor market is becoming increasingly dynamic, and people are moving jobs more and more.
Yep.
You know, your dad may have had two employers over a lifetime. Today's millennials will likely have over 10.
It's hard to organize a gig career, isn't it?
It is, and it's also hard to communicate attractive benefits if you don't plan on being there a long time. The benefits of seniority decrease.
Right, right.
And on the flip side, I think people are becoming more familiar with entrepreneurship, and the opportunities in entrepreneurship, I think, are as great as they've ever been. So
right.
Arguably, while the prospects of the labor movement are decreasing, the prospects of entrepreneurship are increasing.
Well, they ought to be. They sure ought to be. And that's another story, which we'll talk about in the next segment. When you think of Labor Day these days, Doug, what do you think of? What is it? How does it hit you? Is it just another holiday? Do you think people actually contemplate the role that labor plays in our economy?
You know, I think people tend to think it's just another holiday, and it's the big holiday before everybody, you know, gets back to school and gets back, you know, from their summer vacation. And you know, my big pitch to people is it's a real good opportunity to look at how you're advocating for your own interests. And I think there's a fundamental choice out there that people have, and that's do you want to pursue, you know, entrepreneurship or think like an entrepreneur to advocate for your career interests, or do you want to do it through collective bargaining? And obviously, based on the conversation we've had so far, I believe the entrepreneurship approach is likely going to serve today's laborers
effectively. No question about it. I mean, I'm a good example of that. I grew up in a union household, but by the time I came of age, it didn't seem to have any relevance to me. And I gravitated toward the other opportunity, which, as you described, is entrepreneurship, as did you. We're going to take a quick break. The book is called Family Inc. by Douglas P. McCormick, Using Business Principles to Maximize Your Family's Wealth. Hope you check it out, folks. You'll be glad you did. Douglas and I will be right back. It's 20 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.